Chapter 13, How to Create the Best Friendships of Your Entire Life. Now, we've covered a lot about adult friendship over the past two chapters, so I want to just remind you of some of the key concepts so that you have them front and center as we dig into how you're going to create new friends. First of all, we covered the great scattering and what happens in your 20s when friendship suddenly becomes an individual sport, when all along when you were a kid, it was a group sport, and how you didn't see it coming. The next thing you learned is the three pillars of friendship, which is proximity, timing, and energy. This is an amazing tool that you will come back to over and over and over again to just remind yourself of what it takes to create new friends. And it also explains why some friendships fade and why you don't have to make it so personal. It's okay. You just got to be more flexible. Now what we're going to jump into, how you're going to actively find the best friendships of your entire life starting today. Because like I said, I just did this at the age of 54. When we moved to our new town, I felt so lonely. I was brand new to the area. I knew no one my age. At some point in your life, you're going to experience this exact same thing. Because every life change creates changes in your friendships. For example, you're going to experience this if you go through a breakup or you get a divorce and people start to pick sides. You'll experience it if you or a loved one go through some major struggle and people either have no idea how to support you or they're just uncomfortable, so they distance themselves. You'll also experience this when you move for your career or your education. And even if you're super excited about the change that's happening, like you're going to your dream school or you're moving to your dream city, the reality is when you get there, you'll have no friends. And you've probably experienced this in your life. In fact, the first time you may have experienced this is when you went to college. You get to college, you're all excited, and you expect to meet all your best friends right away. But that's not what happens, is it? It doesn't happen because everyone's going through a major change and everyone's nervous, and so they latch right onto the first person they meet. And within a week, it feels like everybody is already in a friend group. But if you really think about your college or even high school experience and your friend group, by the time you graduated, your friend group changed a lot, didn't it? Well, that's because it takes time to find your people. And that brings me to a rule of thumb that I use whenever I'm going through any kind of major change. Give it a year. When my daughter went to college, she called crying all the time. She'd be like, I'm at the wrong school. My people aren't here. I need to transfer. And I constantly told her to hang up the phone, go to the cafeteria, and sit with somebody who looked interesting. I would tell her, you got to put yourself out there. And most importantly, you have to give it a year. Now, she hated that advice. I mean, hated it. She called me all year long. She felt so lonely and desperate. It was so painful to experience that as her mom. And the two friends that she made early on in college, they felt the exact same way. I want to give a huge shout out to Lexi and Michaela right now, because to their credit, the three of them, they just kept putting themselves out there their entire first year. Now, I know my daughter, Sawyer, and she was doing the work. She was asking to sit with people. She was DMing people online to get lunch. She joined a million clubs. She tried out for the club lacrosse team and got cut. She went to the events on campus, but nothing clicked. It truly took her a full year of trying. And then, in the very last few weeks of school, she met one of her now closest friends, Mary Margaret, who then introduced her and her two other friends to the seven girls who to this day are Sawyer's people. She had to give it a year. And I'm telling you this because you're going to need to give it a year too. But when I moved, somehow I forgot my own advice. I needed to be reminded, Mel, just chill. It's going to take a year of trying. Within a week of moving, I was convinced, just like my daughter, I'd made a huge mistake. I felt so bad for myself for an entire year. I cried all the time, just like my daughter called me crying the first year of school. Oh, I'm never going to find my people. I would cry her, I'm never going to find my people. I was so convinced that that I'd never find a person that I could connect with or relate to. But if you're wondering, okay, well, what were you doing during that first year, Mel? Nothing. Seriously. I was sitting in my house feeling lonely. I was burying myself in my work because I didn't want to feel lonely. I was not putting myself out there at all. I was not looking for opportunities to connect. You know what else I did? Oh, I played sad music. I felt bad for myself. I would cry and complain to my husband, Chris. I was closed off. See, I was making the mistake of just expecting that friendship, it was just going to fall out of the sky and land in my lap. It doesn't work like that. And I'm sure you've had an experience like this too. Maybe you've moved, or you changed jobs, or you went through a breakup, or you've been really busy taking care of a family member who's struggling. Or perhaps like me, you've become an empty nester and you felt like, holy cow, I'm really starting over. Well, in those moments when life changes, I'm sure you felt pretty lonely. This is normal. And even if you have great friends, if they're far away, you feel alone if you don't have any friends that are near you. I mean, it got so bad for me that I was on a walk one day and our two adult daughters happened to be home and they were on the walk with me. And I'm sitting here literally sobbing on the walk about how I have no friends, how I hated where we lived, how moving was this huge mistake, that we lived in the middle of nowhere. I'm never going to find any friends. They don't even have apps here where you can meet friends. Like, I am screwed. And so we're passing by the house of this woman that I had met once, 6 months prior. And I just mentioned to my daughters that I had met the woman who lived in the house and she seemed like she could be cool. You want to know what my daughters did? They forced me to walk up her driveway right then. And then they made me knock on her door and say hello. Did I feel like doing that? No. I was scared to walk up her driveway. And as we started walking up her driveway, and I'm like, oh my God, this is actually happening. You want to know what I felt like? I felt like a loser. I was thinking, has it really come to this? Do my daughters really need to be dragging me up some stranger's driveway right now? That's how pathetic things are? Yeah, it had come to that. And when I really think about it, this was the exact same thing I was telling my daughter Sawyer to do when she would call me crying freshman year at college. Hang up the phone and get your butt over to the cafeteria. And come to think of it, you know who I learned that from? My mother. Because when I was a freshman at Dartmouth, I would stand in the hallway on the payphone, collect calling my mother crying, I hate it here. Everybody knows each other. They all went to these private schools out east. And I'm like a public school kid from nowhere in Michigan. My mom finally got so frustrated. She's like, if you call me one more time, you're staying home after the holidays and going to the community college. For crying out loud, pull yourself together and get your butt off this phone and go meet some people. I never called her again. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. Stop crying to me and go talk to somebody your own age. Now, that was 1986, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. 34 years later, when I find myself in this tiny little town with no friends, whining to my daughters about how lonely I am, it's the exact same advice I needed to hear again. Was it embarrassing to knock on her door? You better believe it was. In fact, I could feel my heart up in my throat because as soon as we knocked, you could hear the dogs barking. And then you heard footsteps coming. And when the door swung open, it wasn't the woman I had met. It was her husband. I'd never even laid eyes on him. I asked, is Mia here? And then blurted out, I met her a while ago. I'm brand new. I'm really lonely. I thought I'd stop by and say hello. And then my daughters chime in. Our mom needs friends. She thought your wife was cool, so we made her come up and say hello. Honest to God, that's exactly what happened. Well, thank God he was gracious. He invited us in. He even gave us a tour of their house. We met the dogs. Mia came out from another room. She was thrilled we stopped by. We exchanged numbers. And 1 week later, she and I were walking that very same loop together. And that was the beginning of turning this part of my life around and learning that adult friendship isn't something that happens. It's something you create. And I'm happy to report that from that painful knock on Mia's door and 100 other awkward little moments where I was introducing myself to someone at a coffee shop or pulling into a field at a local flower farm to tell the owners that their flowers were incredible, to saying hello to the person next to me at an exercise class, I have been able to slowly but surely create my own new little community. And over the course of the year, I started feeling like I not only knew the familiar faces in my small community, but by getting to know them, I found my people. This is why you must focus on the let me part of the let them theory. And a particular habit I'm going to teach you called going first. What does going first mean? Simple. Let me be the first to introduce myself. Let me be the first to say, I'm new here. How long have you lived here? Let me be the first to say, if you ever want to go for a walk, let me know. Here's my number. Slowly but surely, one awkward conversation at a time, I not only met my people, I found some of my most favorite people I have ever met in my entire life in this tiny rural town. Who knew? And if I can make amazing friends in my 50s, you can make amazing friends too, wherever you live, at whatever age you are. It is never too late because everyone wants and needs friendship in their life. And even if people already have their quote friend group, there's always room for someone you truly click with. All you have to do is go first. Be the one to say hi to whomever's around you. It makes all the difference. And I didn't do that for a long time. For the first year that I sat in my house crying like a baby, even when I was out, I was closed off. I would walk into the coffee shop. I'd see the same people every day. And I knew no one's name because I didn't ask. That's why I didn't know anybody. I kept to myself. I didn't talk to anyone. The second I started going first, I just walked right into that same coffee shop that I had most days for an entire year, and as the cashier rang me up, I said, you know, I'm Mel. I'm in here all the time. I just thought I'd introduce myself. What's your name? Kevin. And when he handed me the coffee, I said, thank you, Kevin. And then when I sat down with my coffee at a table, here's a little tip I want to give you. I immediately opened up my phone. I created a new contact file for the coffee shop, and in the notes section, I added Kevin, the tall barista with the beard. And I did it right away because I was afraid I would forget his name if I waited until I got into the car. Next, I turned to the young couple who I'd seen morning after morning at the coffee shop but never spoken to. Hey guys, I see you in here a lot. I moved to the area about a year ago. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Mel. What's your name? Gregory and Jordan. They couldn't have been nicer. And then I immediately put their names in my coffee shop contact under Kevin's name in the notes section with a short description. Cute married couple, moved from Los Angeles, baby is adorable. Then I asked them, how long you guys lived in the area? Turns out they just moved here a year ago too. Next, I asked them, so what do you guys do for a living? You want to know something crazy? Gregory works in the podcast business and Jordan is a psychologist. What are the odds? And to think I have spent almost a year sitting 10 feet away from two people who I have so much in common with. It's incredible. And that's why I say your people are all around you. And I really want to hover on this point. Because what I was doing in the coffee shop goes way deeper than just making small talk. I was starting to create a community for myself. The warmth that you offer others always finds its way back to you. Simply knowing all the names of the familiar faces around you will make you feel more connected to where you live. Plus, the more people you meet, the faster you're going to find the people you truly connect with. And there's even more benefits to this. By going first, you create a connection that has a huge impact on your well-being and happiness. And this is a connection that's often overlooked. Researchers say that these kinds of people, the kind of people that you sit next to at a coffee shop or stand next to in the elevator in your building, they're not strangers. They're what researchers call weak ties. And these kind of relationships are super powerful, and they're an extremely important part of your life. They can become a foundation that you build that lifts you up in your day-to-day routine. That's why it's important to learn people's names, say hello, pet their dogs, put descriptions in your contacts so that you can refresh your memory before you walk into the coffee shop tomorrow. Because one conversation at a time, I started to create almost like this social friendship scaffolding. It was a network of people around me that I started to call by first name. Hey, Kevin. Hi, Gregory. Hi, Jordan. Which made me feel less lonely. It's also how I met one of my now closest friends, David. We were living a mile away from each other for a year, and we never met because we were both sitting alone in our houses feeling sorry for ourselves. It started as a hello in a coffee shop. And now, David, he's one of my most favorite people in the entire world, and he and his husband, they become like family. If I can do it in a town of 3,000 people at the age of 50, so can you. And the Let Them Theory is going to help you take this on. Will some people be a little awkward? Yeah, they will. Let them. Will most people be warm and receptive? Yes, let them. Creating friendship really is about the let me part. And here are four simple things that I did that will really help you be the one that goes first. Number one, compliment people everywhere you go. If you love somebody's nail color, tell them. If you love their outfit, tell them. If you like their socks, say it. People love to be complimented because they feel seen and appreciated, and it is a foolproof way to break the ice with someone without feeling weird. Second, be curious. Ask people what they're reading. Ask them what they ordered. People love to talk about themselves. And even if it doesn't go any further than the person saying, oh yeah, you should order this, or thank you, you get points for being the one who goes first. Third, smile. And say hello to anyone and everyone you pass or meet. Because being warm and approachable as a person, it's a skill. If you practice it, it becomes a way of life. And when you move through life with a welcoming spirit, life opens up to you. And fourth, do this without expectation. The reason to be warm to strangers is because simply creating connections with other people improves your life. The warmth you give to others always comes back to you. Trust that the more you do this without expecting someone to invite you out to dinner or to click with them immediately, the faster the right people find their way to you. You can kind of think about it in terms of energy. You're opening up your energy, knowing that the people that are truly meant to be in your life are going to match it naturally. And this isn't easy. Like, you're going to have to push yourself to do this. And loneliness is real, but you're not stuck there. Yes, it's hard to put yourself out there, but it's way harder to stay in your house and feel lonely. I'd rather have an awkward moment than continue to feel lonely, wouldn't you? And finally, give it a year. Because building a network of warm connections that make you feel like you're part of a community, it's a vital layer of friendship as an adult. And it was shocking to me how simply starting to connect with all these people who were all around me made me realize that I was the one who was disconnected from the potential of friendship. The fact is, you can create community anywhere. I had been the one who was keeping myself from connecting with the community that was right in front of me. By isolating and separating myself, I had closed myself off to the community that was waiting for me. Your soulmate, your favorite friend, could very well be sitting two tables away from you at the coffee shop today. don't expect them to find you. Go first, and you'll find them. And if you really want to accelerate your ability to meet people that you're going to click with, steal these three things that my husband and I did. Number one, look for events and group classes that interest you. It could be anything: CrossFit, yoga, running, walking, cooking, painting, improv classes, heck, furniture refinishing. Because these events and group classes put you in proximity with people who have a similar interest in a particular topic. Now, this is going to make it more likely for you to find people that you have things in common with, right? You're now using the science. Pretty cool. Second, when you click with someone, take it out of the class. You go first. Let me ask them to grab a cup of coffee or take a walk. And the more people you do this with, the more comfortable you will feel inviting someone you have just met to do things, and the faster you're going to find your people. And third, as you meet more and more people and you're starting to kind of build this scaffolding, look for events that are interesting and then reach out to the people you've been kind of hanging out with to see if anyone wants to go to it as a group. Maybe it's a concert or a lecture or a volunteer day. You know, one way I did this was creating a walking group with one woman I met at a hair salon. At first, it was just the two of us. The next week, she brought a friend. And slowly but surely, I started inviting other people I had met. And now every Wednesday, we meet at 6:30 a.m. to walk a particular loop in the neighborhood. Several years later, it's still going strong. And the text chain, it has so many people on it, we can't add anymore. And new people, they just keep showing up all the time. But walking is just one example. I've invited groups of people to meet up and listen to jazz at a local inn, to go to a wreath-making class, to go see drag queen bingo night, and to volunteer to help a local flower farmer dig up her dahlia bulbs. My husband, Chris, he's also used this approach. He joined a gym, he signed up for a golf league, he took a bunch of paddle tennis clinics, and he got involved at the local ski mountain. He's become a hospice volunteer. All of these things led him to meet people with very similar interests. Chris then looked for fun things happening in town or nearby and invited a new friend to do it with him. He joined a team to compete in a men's ski race. He started a Tuesday morning sunrise climb the mountain and then ski down group. I skipped that one. That is not something that interests me, especially on a cold morning. But they meet in the parking lot and word is spread. And now on any given Tuesday, you'll see 15 to 20 people of all ages and from surrounding towns hiking up the mountain during the sunrise together. What does this tell you? It tells me everyone's looking for friends, and that slowly but surely, one hello at a time, you can make friends, and that every single one of us is looking for opportunities to connect with other people. So instead of sitting around hoping that someone else starts a hiking group or a walking club or a book club, you go first. Using the let them theory, you'll not only make better friendships, you'll be a better friend too. And this matters. Your relationships create a good life. Good friends, they make you happier, healthier, and they bring your life meaning. Friendship is one of the things you'll cherish most as you go through your life. The let them theory will help you create the friendships you deserve, which are going to require you to be flexible. Remember, friends are going to come and go in your life. Stop expecting the invitation. Stop gripping so tightly when things start to shift, and start taking responsibility for how you show up. Let them will help you be more flexible and not take things personally, and it'll allow the right people to come in and let the wrong people leave. It will also help you navigate this very awkward period where you're trying to make new friends. If you say hello at a coffee shop and they're not very friendly, let them. If their calendar is so busy they can't find time for a walk, let them. If they cancel plans this weekend because they've had a long week at work, let them. If they fall in love or have a baby and you're no longer a priority, let them. If they move away and start a different chapter, let them. If they stop returning your calls, let them. If they're prioritizing other friendships or work, let them. And if the timing, proximity, or energy is off, let them. People are going to come and go in your life. And the more flexible you are, the more they do. It's such a beautiful thing to let people be themselves and to let them live their lives. Focus on let me, because that's what's in your control. Let me be understanding. Let me make an effort. Let me check in without an expectation, but just because I care. Let me tell my friend that I really miss him and I wish we would make some plans to see each other. Let me trust when the energy feels off. And let me call or text if someone crosses my mind. Let me act with the belief that some of my most favorite friends I haven't even met yet. Let me go first. And I promise you, you'll find them. So let's summarize how to use the let them theory to master the rules of adult friendship. Because you've just learned that you've been approaching adult friendship the same way you did as a kid. We all do. You've just been expecting it to happen. And the let them theory empowers you to stop expecting friendship and to take responsibility for creating it. So let me highlight the problem so that you really see what hasn't been working. And the problem is the great scattering happened in your 20s and you didn't realize it. No one does. And you've been approaching friendship the wrong way ever since. You've just expected to be included. You've expected to be around your friends all the time. You've expected the text back. And that expectation has led to feelings of disconnection, isolation, frustration, and uncertainty in approaching new or existing friendships. Now let's talk about the truth. You've learned that there are three pillars to adult friendship, and those pillars are proximity, timing, and energy. It's your responsibility to understand these three pillars and adopt a flexible mentality and proactive approach to all your friendships. You have so much power in your relationships, and some of your most favorite people are just waiting for you to go first. So what's the solution? Well, using the let them theory, start creating connections without any expectation. You go first. Start saying hello to people around you and building that feeling of community wherever you live today. Sign up for that class, create the book club, send the text, and one awkward hello at a time, you will find your people. This approach empowers you to create the most incredible community around you, filled with friendships that are meaningful, supportive, and aligned with who you are. When you say let them, you release the need to cling to friendships that no longer serve you, making space for true connections that matter. When you say, let me, you take charge of your social life, reaching out, initiating, and cultivating the kind of relationships that reflect your values and that bring you happiness. It's time to stop waiting and start creating, building the best friendships of your life and surrounding yourself with a community that uplifts you and supports you. You have so many laughs and memories to make and incredible adventures in your future. And don't forget about your old friends. They're not gone, and they're not your enemies. And all it takes is one call, and you can be rekindling something that you thought was lost. It's all there, waiting for you to reach out and create it. All you have to do is go first. I am so excited to see how you put everything you just learned to use in your own life and to hear about the amazing friendships that you create. But now you and I are going to completely switch gears, and we're going to talk about something that you and I are both doing wrong. And that is how we're creating unnecessary friction and tension in our relationships. What am I talking about? Oh, well, get ready, because we're about to cover how you use the let them theory when you wish someone in your life would change.